Like the show? Want to listen to episodes early? Consider becoming a patron. Starting at the $3 a month level, patrons get access to a custom patron-only feed where we put out episodes of upstairs studio podcasts like the Childcare Bar and Grill, Miss Becky's Classroom, That Early Childhood Nerd, the Renegade Rules podcast, and others early. That feed is just for patrons. You could be one of them. Go to patreon.com/playvolutionhq or click the link in the show description to learn more. Childcare Bar and Grill podcast. Back to you're listening to Easy Listening Podcast Radio. Jeff Johnson here, coming to you live from the new downstairs upstairs studio. With me in studio today, Lisa Murphy.
Hello, and thanks for having me on.
And Tasha Johnson.
Aloha, welcome.
So, ladies, what are we talking about today?
We are reading the first, the last will and testimony of a child care center.
Hey, people, that was just a joke. Welcome to the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studio. Lisa Murphy, Tasha Johnson with me, and we are talking about inherited staff?
Inheritance. Because sometimes you inherit stuff at a center.
Okay, so what's that mean?
Well, sometimes you become an administrator and you inherit the staff that's there.
Yeah, you do.
Sometimes you get hired and you inherit the classroom and the schedule and the kids and the stuff, right? Sometimes you inherit just the stuff from a program. So the actual question that was posted on the Facebook was, how do you deal with staff that you've inherited from the previous director who don't understand DAP or learning domains? This was my favorite part. I can't get rid of them all at the same time. So I need to guide them. And I appreciate your reality check there. You cannot fire them all at the same time.
It's almost as if they knew that's the first thing we would suggest.
Yeah, because it's like she knew that's what we were going to say. So I have a couple standard responses to this. And first of all, I think you need to be clear on what you're expecting from the staff, whether they're brand new staff, whether it's a new program, an old program, you've inherited it, it doesn't matter. Are the program expectations clear and consistent? And if so, where are they? Are they in your head and you're trying to hold 18 people accountable to what's in your head, or are they written down and you have some kind of an objective document to come back to?
Which one of those options is best?
Oh, best is a tricky word, but I mean, if I see it in my head and I get mad at you for not doing what's in my head, that's on me, you know? Maybe I've never even expressed to you what I'm actually expecting from your performance here in the environment.
So written policies are probably better than
staff
trying to figure out the...
Well, yeah, because then you're going to have 18 interpretations of what they think is in your head, and you're going to have 24 programs under one roof, and now you're even more frustrated than you already were. So, yeah. Now, what I don't want you to do or think you have to do is to have, you know, provisions for every possible nuanced scenario, because that's kind of impossible. But I do believe that you should have a general guide, and I believe that people should read it before they interview.
Yeah. And so maybe one of the things you do when you inherit a program, staff, whatever it is you got to spend some time getting everybody on the same page.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe asking them even.
What page are you on?
Hey guys, what page are you on?
Well, they say, what?
What?
What are you doing?
What are your expectations? What do you think you're supposed to be doing here? Because I think that would be, you know, going to them and being like, okay, what's your interpretation of what's going on here? Which is a whole different, I think, attitude than top-down new management coming in saying, you know, come hell or high water, this is the new way of doing stuff. I think it would be more inclusive to kind of feel them out before you start typing something up.
Yeah. Yeah, I hadn't thought about this for years, but back in my community center director, my becoming a community center director days, I guess, I had a couple of coworkers who at different times, cause I mean, I started out at this agency as a volunteer throwing dodgeballs at the head of middle schoolers, and then they started paying me to do that, and it kind of evolved until I was running the place, and a couple times in there, I had coworkers who I got promotions that they thought were theirs.
Oh, I'm sure that went over.
And, I mean, in both cases, it involved trying to give them a chance to get on board and then finding the most effective way to cut them loose when that didn't happen. And it wasn't fun or joyful, except for, I mean, the parts that were when I got to fire them. But, yeah, it's a challenging dance to do, I guess, because my boss was kind of the guy that every time I got promoted, it was I was taking over for the guy that had been in that position before me when he moved into something else. And so it was trying to keep the ship going the same direction he had it going, while putting my own kind of stink on it. And,
you're rubbing all over.
Yeah, kind of get that Jeff Musk all over things, and so it's kind of hard in those situations when you inherit those kind of things.
The scenario that I always default to was when I did the grant project out in Tucson, and they didn't have handbooks, they didn't have employee expectations, and a couple of the owners and directors were like, we need to put something together. And so there was like two paths that some of the schools ended up following. Some of the schools, we collaborated, we wrote a program statement, we wrote an employee handbook, we wrote expectation sheets, and the staff were a part of that. And so there was that buy-in kind of a group acknowledgement, guys, this isn't working. This isn't really how a good program happens. Let's work together. Let us make this happen. And then kind of the collective agreement was, then moving forward, you are expected to be in line with this. So that was like choice one. And then what a couple of the other schools did, and this is the model that I found I was to be more of the fan of, was the admin team was like, okay, this is what we're ready, willing, and able to enforce. This is what DAP looks like. This is a play-based program. We're writing it. Everybody's going to have a couple weeks to read it, and then everybody's re-interviewing for their job, with this being this is it. So everybody, you can leave now knowing that you're not going to be able to put, get yourself behind this, mm-hmm. and save face. Mm-hmm. Or I now have a document that I can keep coming back to. It has nothing to do with me liking you or not liking you or thinking you're good or not good. It has to do with that moving forward, this is the goal of the program, and you're either with us or you're not.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's a process. I think that's a real thoughtful process. It's not quick necessarily.
No.
And so there may be some friction points and uncomfortable times while you're moving through that. But
if you've had 20 years of an existing program with nothing in writing.
Exactly.
I mean, what's another maybe year, 18 months of getting everybody on the same page?
Yeah.
With for new listeners, I want to make sure you realize that, at least I can speak for myself, and I think for Jeff and Tasha, being on the same page doesn't mean we're all working from a script. It doesn't mean we're all doing the same thing at the same time, but it means at the end of the day, everybody working here has the same philosophical orientation, goals, and objectives. We might execute mm-hmm. them a little differently with our own styles, but we're all on the same page with the big major issues.
Yeah, and being able to have conversations and understand that we are not all marching in lockstep, because that gets kind of, that's really difficult to create and probably not sustainable, that kind of where everybody is. I mean, have everybody's drank the same Kool-Aid and mm-hmm. locked in that way. Lisa Murphy, I keep coming back to the comment in there about not being able to get rid of everybody at the same time. And I wonder if you knew you had to get rid of a bunch of people. Say you got a staff of 12, you've inherited a program with a staff of 12, and you've gone through this, and okay, the re-interviewing for your job, that's an easy way to do it. I'm thinking, what if you had to fire like 6 people, but you couldn't do it all at once? How would you decide what order to fire them in?
Seniority, backward seniority.
No, I was thinking they had to draw straws.
Drawing straws?
Yeah, whoever drew the short one was the first one who was let go.
Oh, so they would know that was happening?
Yeah.
Okay, I like that one. I was thinking like maybe it's a staff fun night or something, a staff meeting night or everything, and you have some sort of double elimination game of Twister, and you just keep track of the order they lose in, and first loser is first one out, and you get rid of them that way. That might
sure.
work.
Well, some conferences put a dot under the chair and for the door prize and what?
Door prize is your final check.
Yeah, that'd be kind of like at a staff meeting. You're talking about the change.
Please check under your chair. Whoever has the blue dot, please gather your things
please
and
gather
leave.
Your things.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool. What other cool ways are there to do that? Well, no, we're trying to be a helpful podcast, so this comes up, and some people don't enjoy firing people, and especially if you've got a lot to do. I bet there's a way you could have custom-made lottery tickets, like they look like fake lottery tickets, and so you start scratching off, and the first one is your
fire.
And then you get three you're fired matches, and
that means you're really fired.
And then you scratch the next one off, and it's like, no, seriously, Jenny, you're fired.
It has their name on it and everything.
What's yours? You got another one?
Unfortunately, yes, I did. But you know how some people have like the birthday crowns?
Yeah.
They could be in their mail slot. This is your firing crown.
Firing.
You may wear it for the rest of the day,
for
but
two
the
weeks.
End, yes.
We're assuming you're. There are some helpful ideas. Hey, listeners, if you've fired anybody in a very interesting way or made the decision about firing anybody in an interesting way, let me know. I'd love to hear about it. So what else we got on this one?
Yeah. Well, sorry, the screen went away. But some of the other posters, what do you call them, jumped in on this one that says mm-hmm. that lots of modeling and staff meetings are helpful. You know, I can't get rid of them all at the same time, so how do I guide some of them? Advice on how to teach what wasn't learned in the class is what she was needing. Lots of modeling and staff meetings. I think maybe once you get rid of one or two, and you're like no bones about it, sometimes people are going to step up and kind of realign themselves mm-hmm. or maybe will quit on their own if they see that you are going to be consistent. You might find then you get better performance from some of the people who now see that admin's got a set of balls and is getting rid of some of the dead weight. You know, you really don't know, you know, what that ripple effect could potentially be of getting rid of some, I don't know, dead weight or problem kids. I don't know what you want to call them.
The least warm of the warm bodies.
The least warm of the warm bodies.
And so, and I think, I mean, that can send a signal to the staff that you're feeling pretty good about when you start cutting the deadest of the dead weight. When you start cutting mm-hmm. the deadest of the dead weight, the staff that are on board, that's going to give them a signal like, oh, shit's getting done here. And that does put them in the mindset of, oh, I can stick around here, because we hear stories all the time about, you know, the program's got all these warm bodies, and the people that actually care and passionate and who are
invested
in the program kind of feel like giving up and moving on. And so getting rid of the deadest of the dead weight first kind of buoys them and wants them to keep moving ahead.
Yeah, well, and I think coaching can help there. I mean, somebody who is an effective side coacher, who is able to come in and give that one-on-one assistance to the cream of the crop, or whatever language we're going to use with them, the people who are more than just a warm body, and they start to then get better at their job, and then you might have other people who decide, you know what, maybe that's all I'm needing too. So if I stick around a little bit more, mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, it can be so hard to think about the hypotheticals of how would you and what would you. I mean, I think I approach a lot of the situations with the same kind of framework in my head, and a lot of the minutiae you're not going to be able to deal with until you see what happens.
Yeah. I can't get the dot under the chair thing out of my head. We got to role play it. Who wants to be the director? Okay, I will be. Hey everybody! Thanks for joining me at the staff meeting today. We've got some snacks over there. We're gonna get into the new biting policy that Tiffany and Melinda worked up for us. Before that, we've got a little surprise. Under your chairs, somebody's got a green sticker. Scratch and sniff a green sticker
ooh,
under your
ooh,
chair.
Hold on.
If you've got
oh,
the sticker.
I did this once at a conference. I reached down and I got
yeah,
I got the prize. Hold on, no, I think I got it. I got it.
Great, green. There we go.
I got a green sticker.
What,
hey
does,
guys,
what does it smell like?
Mint.
No, it smells like unemployment. Tiffany, you're fired. You did a horrible job on the biting policy. We have to let you go. We cannot bite the children back. It is totally wrong. You've been a bad, I mean, I just got promoted to director, but I've worked here for about 14 years, and you are absolutely the worst person we've ever had work here.
I don't think you're allowed to say that.
How can I not say it, Tiffany? You're horrible.
Horrible? I don't think I'm horrible.
You.
I think I could. Is anybody here want to step up for
you,
me? I mean,
I've
never bit anybody in the room.
You brought cookies to the last staff meeting, and they had broken glass in them, Tiffany.
Oh,
you are.
Well, that was an accident.
Lots of accidents seem to happen around you, Tiffany. Remember about Michael in the high chair?
Oh,
that accident.
That wasn't my fault.
Uh-huh. Snakes just don't walk into this building.
Well, I think that's because Melinda brought it in.
No, I didn't. Why are you dragging me in this?
Tiffany,
well,
I didn't get the sticker.
Tiffany, look, next to you got a little crown.
I do have a crown.
Yeah, it's shaped like a cone, actually, but with some rhinestones on it. It says dunce, and I've been fired. You do get to work out your last 2 weeks just because, you know, I have to do that, but you need to wear that the whole time.
That's it. I'm out of here. I quit. If I'm not going to be appreciated, I'm out of here. I'll go find somewhere where I'm appreciated for my effort and my work and my commitment.
Oh, thank God she's gone. And scene. That's how that would be.
Is that how that would go?
I don't know. If that's how that would go. I really want to have a staff so I can fire somebody. Slinky Dog might get fired at the end of this podcast. Mm-hmm. So what else do we have on this one? I mean, and again, it seems to all be about relationships again. What about other inherited stuff? Because I mean, it's not just always staff. It is sometimes, I mean, sometimes policies and philosophies are in place and you inherit them and they need to be tweaked, so that's kind of a bit of it. But is there other stuff that's going on in a program that gets inherited that we might have to deal with?
Bad habits. I think the culture of the school, that, you know, the community culture of the school, you know, things we've always done here, you know, that kind of stuff. And you know, I'm not looking to throw all the babies out with the bathwater, but I am looking to have intention behind what we're doing here. I think sometimes we make assumptions that because people have been in the field for a length of time that they have correct, and I'll use the quotes on that, correct definitions of some of the buzzwords or consistent definitions. Like, even just to go back to this really quick, dealing with a staff you've inherited from the previous director who doesn't understand DAP, is there room to say that we might be making an assumption that because they're working here, that I can say things like DAP and
they know.
They might not know what that means, and very few people are going to raise their hands and be like, yo, I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Because of how that might end up looking. So you might be inheriting the culture of compliance or the culture of ignorance or a culture of not being disrespectful to administration. You know, there's a lot there, and that's why people make a living off of coaching on communities and cultures within organizations.
Yeah. So I mean, so much of it goes back to kind of, I guess when you inherit whatever you're inheriting, it's doing a clear-eyed assessment of what the situation on the ground really is, and then prioritizing what and how
to change your response to that. So if I get hired by the director, I'm the new employee, and I go into the classroom and the room, you know, is like rearranged in a weird configuration. You know, I think there's room to, you don't have to just keep it like that because that's the way it was. I might sit there for a couple of days and not be reactive, right? I want to see what's going on before I just say I'm the new person and this is the way that I want to have it. The same with your schedule that might be on the wall. The same with the stuff that might be on the shelves. It might just be that that's what's been there and it's time for a facelift.
Yeah, it's almost like triage after a natural disaster. You gotta prioritize what gets attention what gets attention first.
Exactly.
I think another thing that's worthy of a reminder is the whole idea of don't take on too much at once. The whole baby step idea that we come back to again and again on the show, because if you try to fix everything at once, you end up overwhelming everybody and you end up with a bigger mess than you started with a lot of the time.
And no actual progress on any of it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the old saying of, if you have a lot of credit card debt and you're only paying the minimum payment on every single one, you're never actually paying any of them down, right? So you got to pick one and go after it. So you're overwhelmed with maybe all the change that might need to be happening in your program, but you got to pick one and get the ball rolling, not just try and think that you're going to do it all at the same time, most definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a way to give yourself a nervous breakdown. And just like you said, pick away at it until you start creating something somebody else will inherit at some point, and then you hope what you pass on is a little bit healthier than what you took on, I guess.
You guess.
I guess. Anything else for this one? I really want to fire somebody.
You can fire me.
That wouldn't be any fun. We just kind of role played that. This has been the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. Back soon with another episode. Thank you very much for listening. Lisa Murphy at OohEeGooey.com.
Thank you.
Fine. Tasha and I at explorationsearlylearning.com, EELtoys.com, or playvolutionhq.com, all over the internet. Back soon with another episode. Thanks for listening. Oh, wait. Hey, listeners, look under your seat. One of you has a green sticker. If you have a green sticker under your seat now, you're not allowed to listen to the podcast.
Oh, my God.
No, that's a joke. I hope nobody really has a green sticker under their seat.
If you do, for some reason, we'd love to see a picture.
Totally. If you're sitting in a chair and there's a green sticker in it, please send me a picture. That would be awesome. You don't get fired from the podcast. I'll send you a prize.
They start sending you green stickers now.
How would we prove? Bye.
Bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.